pray. Lord, we once again ask for your help tonight. Your word says that we are the aroma of Christ to God. God is revealing himself through us, spreading the fragrance of the knowledge of God through us, through our lives. Lord, we pray that you would use this group to be the aroma of Christ when they leave this room. So help us to hear from you now, from your word, and apply your word to our lives, and let us see Jesus. We pray for any worries, anxieties, or any restlessness, any fidgetiness would right now be made at peace so that we can focus and hear from you, Lord. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So I asked you about bad smells earlier. Tell me something that smells good. So raise your hand. Tell me one of your favorite smells. Yes, ma'am.
Clean laundry.
Clean laundry. Great answer.
Pineapple.
Pineapple. Great answer.
Pumpkin spice.
Okay.
Zach?
Lavender. Okay. Okay, great.
PVC glue.
PVC glue. Dylan is an electrician, so he said PVC glue. That's what everyone else was thinking too, right? Yes, Zane. What is it? Cement? I thought you said cement. I was like, hey, cement's a cool smell, whatever. Cinnamon, yeah, cinnamon is a great smell. Smooth cinnamon, yeah, yeah, thanks for making fun of me. Cinnamon, yeah. Yes, Bailey. Gasoline on a NASCAR truck. That was on a track, okay. You guys need to, I'm hard of hearing up here, okay. Yes, sir. Panera? Just Panera, the restaurant, yes. Chocolate, okay, good. Abigail? Winter. I like that answer. I'm going to come all the way over here. Hold on. Yes, ma'am.
Nature.
Great answer. Ben?
Febreze.
Speak up. Yep. Oh, fresh mowed grass. Yes, absolutely. Yes. Starbucks. That is its own smell. It really is. Yes. Glue. Well, we had PVC glue over here, so... Chick-fil-A, I knew it was coming. All that grease coming out of the back. I'm a little concerned about these two glue answers we have. No comment. Two more, Sarah. Horses, you would say that, yes. And then last one. Shh. What? We said good smells. Oh, my word. Too far. We should not have done that. Peyton said, dirty socks. And she will go down in infamy. Are you sticking to your answer? Sticking to it. Bold move. One of my favorite smells, listen up. One of my favorite smells is sizzling bacon. Anybody else down for that? I like bacon. We won't keep your voice down. We won't talk about that. All right, let's get to it. So the reason I'm talking about smells is because, y'all listen, in our chapter today, in chapter 2, we talk about being the aroma of Christ and being the spreading the fragrance of the knowledge of Christ. We have a lot of these smell illustrations, these pictures for us here. We are told that our life is supposed to be an aroma of Christ. And we'll see that as we walk through the passage. And what that means is that just like a, let's say, sizzling bacon would fill this room, right? If you were making breakfast in the cafe, you would make it over there. We could smell that bacon pouring into this room from over there. Our life, as we live, our life should spread a kind of Jesus fragrance that comes off of our life, the way we speak, the way we talk, the message that we have, the message of the gospel that we proclaim. Basically, it's that people should know that you are a Christian before they even really get to know you because you just give off this aroma of Christ. Does that make sense? People can tell by your face, by the joy in your life, by your peace, by the way you forgive each other, that you are a follower of Jesus, that you carry this aroma and it spreads and it fills the room. Your personality, your life, It just kind of lights up the place for Jesus. But if we're honest, most of the time, maybe not most of the time, we won't go that far, but let's say a lot of the time, if we're honest, our life is not giving off the pleasant aroma of Christ, if we were honest with ourselves. A lot of times, maybe your life smells more like a bad smell for Christ. Okay, it smells like some of those bad smells we mentioned earlier. Right? Maybe it's you're more like the dumpster, you smell more like the dumpster outside because your life is so full of sin and Christ isn't anywhere visible in your life. If someone were to encounter you in the hallway, they might not even know you are a Christian because of the things that you're speaking and the things that you're listening to and the things that you're passionate about. They might not even know you're a Christian or the sins that you're indulging yourself in. So we need some help here. If we're going to be the aroma of Christ, we need to know, first of all, what that means, what that looks like. But we also just need help, gospel help and strength, and the strength of Jesus to help us do that, right? Because we all struggle with this. So that's what's going to be helpful for us today as we talk through this text. I want you to see that this main point here. We'll put this up on the screen for you. Here's our main point as we walk through the text. We want to be the aroma of Christ by making Christ known. That's a very important phrase. Making Christ known wherever you go. So be the aroma of Christ by making Christ known wherever you go. Okay, so this is a very high calling. The calling is to make Christ known with your whole life, all the time. That's a high calling, right? Make Christ known with your whole life all the time. To feel the weight of that, like your purpose, your whole purpose in life, students, you're always looking for what is your purpose in life. It is a big question. And your purpose in life is handed to you by God Himself. It is to make His Son known through your life. It is to make disciples of all nations, Matthew 28. Right, it is to make Christ known. You got to feel the weight of this. Your purpose is not to be a businesswoman or a doctor or a lawyer. You can pursue those things. We'll talk about that. You can pursue those things, but that's not your purpose. You understand? Your purpose is higher, bigger. It is to make Christ known whether you are a doctor or a lawyer, business owner, etc. Athlete, public school student, private school student, homeschooler, it doesn't matter. Your purpose is not those things. Your purpose is much, much higher, making Christ known wherever you go, everywhere. Okay? So that's how we spread the aroma of Christ. So let's read with that in mind. Let's read chapter 2. We're going to start in verse 12. Okay? We're going to read through the end of the chapter. It says, when I came to Troas, that's a nearby city, when I came to Troas to preach the gospel of Christ, even though a door was opened for me in the Lord, my spirit was not at rest because I did not find my brother Titus there. So I took leave of them and I went on to Macedonia. But thanks be to God. Thanks be to God who in Christ always leads us in triumphal procession and through us spreads the fragrance, so there's our smell language, the fragrance of the knowledge of him everywhere. For we are the aroma of Christ to God among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. To one, a fragrance or an aroma from death to death. To the other, a fragrance from life to life. Who is sufficient for these things? For we are not like so many peddlers of God's word, but as men of sincerity, as commissioned by God in the sight of God, we speak in Christ. So you guys see that, right? The we are the aroma of Christ to God. I told you, I think it was last week or the week before, that all of these passages that we'll study in this book and really in your Bible, they're really kind of woven together, held together by one key verse in a passage, in a paragraph. That would be our key verse for the whole passage. Verse 15, for we are the aroma of Christ to God among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. So we talked about we are the aroma of Christ by making Christ known. So we're going to talk about making Christ known throughout this passage, and we're going to see the implications of what it means to make Christ known and how that actually helps us be the aroma of Christ. So point number one, are you ready? Make Christ known and pick a direction. I'll tell you what that means. Make Christ known and pick a direction. We get this from the first two verses. So Paul says in verse 12 that he came to Troas to preach the gospel, even though a door was opened for me in the Lord. So he's got an opportunity to stay in this city called Troas to preach the gospel. It's a good option. A door is opened for him, okay, in the Lord. He could stay there if he wanted to. My spirit was not at rest because I didn't find my brother Titus there. So he comes, he's looking for his bro Titus. Titus is not there. He thought Titus was going to be there. He's not there. So he says, I took leave and I went to Macedonia. So here's the deal. Paul gets to Troas. He could have stayed. He had a door wide open. Looked like a good option. Could have stayed, but he doesn't. He instead goes to Macedonia to preach the gospel and find his brother Titus. So what we need to learn from this, this little idea of the door was open for me. By the way, when we say a door was open for me, many of you probably know that, but it's a figure of speech to say that there's an opportunity here available for me, right? There's an option for me to walk through, to choose. I have an option here to choose to stay at Troas, or I have an option to go to Macedonia. I have an option to go to this college, and I have an option to go to this college. There's a door open here and a door open here, and I can walk through one of those doors. This passage shows us that when we make Christ known, verse 12, to preach the gospel of Christ, we are actually free from being paralyzed and frozen by not knowing what to do when we have two good options. Okay? So what I mean is this. You're going to get to a point in your life where you're going to come to some forks in the road. What college do I go to? What career do I pursue? What activity do I do this year? Do I play soccer or do I play basketball? I've got to choose one. I can't do both. Do I play this sport or this sport? Do I do this club or this club? You're going to have some forks in the road. Should I marry this person? Should I not marry this person? That might come up one day. And you're going to have to figure these things out. And you're going to pray through them. You're going to seek wise counsel. And you may not know what to do. And you might be paralyzed by your decision because you are concerned that if you pick the wrong one, you might not be in the will of God. That makes sense? You want to know, what is the will of God for my life? Is it this school or is it this school? Is it this route or this route? And this passage actually frees us to just be able to make a decision trusting the Lord because our goal is to make Christ known. Let me show you. So an example is in my own life, when I was a senior in high school, I applied to colleges like many of you are doing and will do very soon, and I applied to two. I lived in Florida. I applied to Florida State. And I applied to Mississippi State. Well, many of you know I ended up going to Mississippi State. Many of you probably don't know that I almost went to Florida State. So I was accepted to both. FSU, I was accepted. Mississippi State is about the easiest school to get accepted into. You basically just have to breathe and prove that you went to high school, and you can get into Mississippi State. So I got accepted to both, and my siblings went to Florida State, three of them. I'm the youngest in the family. Who's the youngest in their family? That's what I'm talking about, okay? More power to you. Youngest in the family. So I was, I had four other siblings. Three of them went to Florida State. I was like, I'll go to Florida State, closer to home, be there with the family. It just made sense. Well, then I got Mississippi State also as an option. I'm trying to pick between both. And it looked like Florida State, the door that was open there, it looked like it was kind of maybe not closing, but it was certainly harder to kind of navigate. Things weren't kind of working out as smoothly as I wanted them to. It's kind of hard to find a living situation and things like that. Just a little chaotic. At the same time, Mississippi State looked like the door was maybe opening a little bit wider. All right, we were praying about it, and the Lord opened up a door that kind of brought the cost way down to go. And so that looked like maybe the Lord was moving our direction, but we weren't really sure. So we ended up visiting Mississippi State, and sure enough, I loved it, felt like it was the right fit for me, and decided to go there, and I'm so glad I did. I wouldn't know my wife, wouldn't have my family, and I wouldn't be here with you because I came here from there. So you see how God works everything out for his glory, thank God. So you don't know what's going to happen when you pick door A or door B, do you? No, you don't know. But here's the reality. Could I have gone to Florida State and been obedient to the Lord? Yes is the answer. Okay? I wasn't wondering, if I go to Florida State, am I being disobedient because it looks like maybe I should go this way? Or it looks like I should go this way. You can pray about it and ask for good counsel, and you should do those things. Reading your Bible, yes, when you make a decision. But at the end of the day, the Lord is not going to write it in the sky for you. Okay? He's not going to have it in Scripture for you when you have two good options like this. And you're going to have to just trust the Lord and make a decision. And when your aim is to make Christ known, and that's your aim, then the whole point is that it doesn't matter about the direction as much as it matters about your heart in what you choose. If your heart is to make Christ known, then you can do it at this school or that school, at this job or that job. Does that make sense? Your purpose is to make Christ known no matter what direction you pick. And so the whole point of this passage, the fact that Paul could have stayed in Troas because there's a door open there, but he doesn't choose to and he goes to Macedonia, I think is really helpful for us because it shows that we're kind of free when our whole heart is to make Christ known. We're really free from being paralyzed by not being able to make a decision. Make Christ known and then use good judgment and then just pick a door. Pick a door, move. Don't be paralyzed and frozen and over-spiritualize the Christian life. What I mean by that is sometimes we are like, you know, well, I just don't have a peace about it. You guys might have heard that before. Well, I don't feel called. Well, those might be true. But a lot of times those are kind of just, it can be over-spiritualized to say, you know, I don't want to. We just sound more spiritual when we say, I don't have a peace about it, instead, I don't want to. We sound more spiritual when we say, I don't feel called, instead of just saying, I don't want to, or I'm uncomfortable. And yeah, maybe the Lord isn't leading you to go there. But we don't need to over-spiritualize the whole Christian life. So, you know, if you have an opportunity to work at Publix or Chick-fil-A, well, obviously the answer is clearly Chick-fil-A, but those are two good options, right? A high school job, you can work at Publix or Chick-fil-A. Can you be obedient to Christ at both? Yes, you can. Okay? You just pick one. Your whole aim is to make Christ known. You can make Christ known at Publix. You can make him known at Chick-fil-A. Because surprisingly, I don't think everybody that works at Chick-fil-A is a Christian, are they? No. That's surprising. But I'm pretty sure there's unbelievers there too. You can make Christ known wherever you are, right? Whether you go the business route, whether you become an engineer, whether you become an electrician, you can make Christ known. You're free. So you don't have to be so paralyzed by indecision. And Proverbs 3:5 is written to help us with this. Proverbs 3:5, do you know what this verse says? You should memorize it. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. And then verse 6, which I don't have for the screen, sorry about that. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will make your paths straight. Proverbs is showing us, don't lean on your own understanding. Just trust the Lord. You don't have to have it figured out. Are you 100%, excuse me, I choked. Are you 100% sure that you should pick option A over option B? You might not be 100% sure, but you need to trust the Lord. Acknowledge Christ in all your ways, and he will direct your steps. You see how that frees you? You don't have to be paralyzed by decisions, wondering about if I should do this or this. It matters less about your decision. It matters far more about your heart in the decision. We know what Christ has called us to do. We know that no matter what, we're called to proclaim Christ. We're called to make disciples. We're called to serve the church. We're called to invest in each other. We're called to share the gospel. Those, you don't have to wonder if God's called you to do those things. He has called you to do those things. So you should not be wondering, well, I have an opportunity to serve the church. I wonder if that's what God wants me to do. You already know the answer. You don't even have to pray about it. Yes, it is what God wants you to do. He wants you to serve the church. Now, you could do that in different ways. That's a different sermon. But you know what God has called you to do. So what is your heart when you make decisions? If your heart is to make Christ known, then just trust the Lord, pray, seek wise counsel, and then just pick a door. And he will lead your steps. The reason he will lead your steps is because point number two, make Christ known. This is point number two, make Christ known and spread his aroma. Here's our verse. Here's our word again, aroma. So we can do this. We can make Christ known and make a decision because of what we see here. We see two things here. First, in verse 14, he says, but thanks be to God who first, he does two things. First, he always leads us. He leads us in triumphal procession. And then two, through us, spreads the fragrance of the knowledge of him everywhere. Okay, so he does two things. First, the reason you can go confidently as you pick a direction, this school or this school, this career or that career, this activity, is because Christ will lead you in triumphal procession. What is triumphal procession? So triumphal procession is the idea of when a king would come back from battle, having won, he would be led in a parade, a procession, okay? And everybody would be behind him, and they'd be rejoicing, he'd be in front. So you have that kind of image here. Christ is your victorious king leading you wherever you go. So if you've paid attention to the news, you know that Queen Elizabeth died, right? She's Queen of England for 70 years. 70 years. That's incredible, right? So she was reigning from 26 years old to 96 years old. So I have a picture of the procession at her funeral on Monday. You have a picture of that? Did anybody watch the funeral on Monday? Anybody? Okay, so a few of you. Okay, so basically, part of the funeral, they transported the casket in the hearse, which you can see, I'm going to come over here, is right here. Okay, in the middle. That's her casket, and that's the hearse carrying her to Windsor Castle. So they drove her through London 25 miles. Okay, and so the procession was 25 miles of traveling, and the whole way, they drove like 10 miles an hour, and the whole way was people on both sides of the road in London, the whole way. The whole way. And so for most of the time, this band wasn't here, okay, in front. It was mostly just the hearse and a few cars behind the hearse going through the town. And it was majestic. It was very sobering. It was very honoring to watch, okay? It was a very beautiful ceremony. So they're driving her through, and the crowds are watching. It's all very quiet. And so this procession was huge, and all the people are along the side of the road. But then they got to this part, and they did what was called the long walk. Okay, so there was a part of the procession that was on the long walk, a 3-mile walk leading up to the castle where the actual funeral was to take place. So these soldiers and the band here walked with her in complete unison for several miles, 3 miles is what they say the long walk is. And we were watching it going, man, they are walking for a long time. When does this walk end? And they walked for a long time. And they got, this is the entrance. See the gates down there? That's the entrance to the castle where the actual funeral was. So they're right at the end. You can see how massive the crowds are on both sides. This band is leading the way. The whole thing was very beautiful and pretty amazing to watch. And this was a procession because this queen was the monarch for 70 years. That's an amazing thing, right? And this is a moment in history that's maybe once in a lifetime for you, okay? You might not ever see something like this happen again, where a ruling leader passes away and there's a massive, massive procession for them. So the reason I say this is because when you think about Christ leading you in procession, this was a queen for 70 years, and this is her procession, and she is not alive here. Your king is a living, risen Savior, and he leads you like a victorious procession, a parade. He leads you and goes ahead of you wherever you go when your desire is to glorify Jesus and make him known. He goes ahead of you. So that means that if you go to school A, he goes ahead of you there and leads the way. He leads the way. That means he's going to provide strength for you. He's going to provide the the tools that you need to glorify him. He's going to put right people in your path. He's going to put relationships in your path. He's going to put gospel opportunities in your path because he is leading the way in victory. So that's why you can have confidence whether you choose this direction over this direction. Because ultimately, you can't mess up God's plan if you choose option A over option B. Okay? God's plan is not dependent on our choosing this direction or this direction because he's already won the victory. He's leading you in triumph. He's a king that has won the battle over sin and death, and we are just following his leadership. So often we think, well, if I pick Virginia Tech over Liberty, I don't know if that's what God wants me to do, and I don't want to go to Virginia Tech and be disobedient to what God's trying to tell me, and you're so frozen and paralyzed by this. And it's not like if you chose Virginia Tech over Liberty, God's like, well, I dropped so many hints to go to Liberty, and they just didn't get it. I sent so many things in the mail. I was trying to make it crystal clear, go to Liberty, but instead they chose Virginia Tech. So now me and the Trinity back to the drawing board on how we're going to save Steve and how we're going to save Stephanie because it was all riding on this plan. Does that happen? No. Because God has already won the victory and he's sovereign and he's already declared the end from the beginning. He has laid out everything. So you are just following his leadership as your whole desire is to make him known. So pick a career and pick a college and pick a plan that will glorify him and then just walk and take steps and trust him every step of the way, every single day, because ultimately he is leading you. That's good news, right? You can walk with confidence that God has gone before you and he will guide you by his Holy Spirit whom he has given to you. Then he says we're to spread, 14. We are to spread the fragrance of the knowledge of him. So the aroma. We're going to spread the aroma of Christ. Spread the knowledge of him. There's a candle in my office. Should have brought it down here. Man. It's a candle in my office. It's a burned up candle. Don't even know why I still have it. It's a Yankee candle. It says French vanilla on it. I've already used the whole thing. So now it's a useless candle. And the wax is so thin at the bottom, it doesn't work anymore because I've used the whole thing. You can't use candles after the wax runs out. So I've used the whole thing. It's just sitting there. It still says French vanilla on it. But if I light that thing, it's not going to do a thing. There'll be no smell from it at all. There was a time when there was an aroma that when I lit it, wafted all the way into the hallway. The whole hallway down the steps smelled like vanilla pouring out of my office. A little bit overwhelming, to be honest. But it poured out of my office into the hallway. Well, now it won't happen. So if we are the aroma of Christ, that means that Christ should be made known from our life. And you can call yourself a Christian. You can call yourself a Christ follower. You can call yourself a believer. You can use whatever Christian title you'd like to use, just like French vanilla on the label of the candle. But right now, there ain't no French vanilla smell coming from that candle. And you can label yourself any kind of label you want to say you are a Christian, but unless there is an aroma of Christ coming off of your life, it really doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter. If your life doesn't look like Jesus, it really doesn't matter. If your life doesn't smell like Jesus, it really doesn't matter. We want you to look like Jesus. Be useful to Jesus. Let me ask you a question, students. Do you want to be useful to God? Just in your heart. Do you want to be useful to God? Useful for God's kingdom? Do you want to live a life that matters? That counts for something? Beyond earth? Is that the life that you'd like to live? To live a life that has importance beyond earth? To be useful to Jesus is the highest calling you can have in life. And we are to be the aroma of Christ to God in this world. And if we are not living like Jesus,
loving people like Jesus, forgiving like Jesus, having grace like Jesus, compassion like Jesus, listening to music that Jesus would want us to listen to, putting things into our body that Jesus would want us to do, running from sin like Jesus would want us to do. If we are not doing those things, then you have to ask yourself, do you actually want to live for Jesus, or do you just like being called Christian? Because there's a big difference between those two things. There's a candle in my office that says French vanilla. There ain't no French vanilla smell coming off of it. And you can call yourself a Christian when there's no Christian look or smell about you. And if there's no desire to follow Jesus in your life, if Jesus is not better to you in your heart than everything else in this world, then we're not saved. And you have to be honest with yourself. I'm not saying you don't struggle with sin, because you will. But you struggle with sin as someone who's trying to fight sin, not someone who loves sin. Do you love Christ? Do you want to live your life for the kingdom of God? So we have to have the aroma of Christ and spread his name everywhere. We are not living for the world. We're not to look like the world. We're not to please the world. We're supposed to please Christ and live for Jesus. It says we are the aroma of Christ to God. It means our lives are to please only God. The aroma in the Old Testament, this is actually an Old Testament reference here. They would make sacrifices, and when they would burn the sacrifice as an act of worship, the smoke would go up, and God says it was a pleasing aroma to him. And what that means now is our lives are to be lived as an offering, a worship to Jesus, to where they are now pleasing to God. Okay, how do we do that? It says that we are to be the fragrance, verse 15, we are the aroma of Christ to God among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. So there's, as we live for Christ and we preach the gospel, it will hit two different groups of people. As you proclaim Christ, you will hit two different groups of people. The perishing, the dying away from Christ, and those being saved. There are only two groups of people in the world, the perishing and the being saved. All human race can be split into two groups, the perishing over here who reject Christ and the being saved, the few over here who will be saved and love Christ. You can split everybody into two groups. And when you proclaim the gospel, what you do is that you proclaim it to these two groups, and you will divide these two groups. The gospel will split these two groups. Let me show you how it happens. It says in verse 16, to one a fragrance from death to death, that would be to the perishing, and to the other a fragrance from life to life. So to the perishing, that means from death to death. That means when the gospel is proclaimed, when they hear the gospel, it's a stench to them. It's nasty. When they hear the gospel, when they see it in you, you will expose sin in them, expose them to be dead in their sin. Ephesians 2:1 says, but you were dead. You were dead in your sin. That's what you are before Christ. And you will expose them to be dead. And it says they go from death to death. It means that when they hear the gospel, their hearts will harden and they'll reject Christ. It means that when the light of Christ exposes their sin, they will hide in the darkness because they love darkness. It means that when they hear about the righteousness of Christ that can be theirs, they will refuse the righteousness of Christ and they will depend on their own self-righteousness, their own good deeds to save them. It means that when they hear the gospel, they will reject a free offer of salvation for their sin, for forgiveness, because they think they can clean their lives up on their own. You and I cannot save people. Only God can save people. But we are to proclaim the gospel to a group that will reject it. That's what makes our job so difficult, because it doesn't make a lot of friends sometimes when we proclaim the gospel. The other group is the being saved. And the being saved goes from life to life. So when the gospel is proclaimed to this group, it's the being saved. They either hear it and receive it joyfully and come to Christ, or many of you hear the gospel and you're a Christian and it gives you more life, life to life. It kind of puts the wind in your sails. You love it. It smells good to you. It's a pleasant aroma. We talked about good smells. It's like The smell of fresh flowers on spring day, like April, right? When spring is coming, flowers are out. Beautiful, right? Smells amazing outside. Except for all that stupid pollen that comes in April. That's terrible. But the flowers, beautiful. Fresh cut grass, someone said that. Who was that said fresh cut mowed lawn? Someone over here said that. Fresh cut grass, great smell. How about the ocean breeze when you go on vacation? Great smell, right? When we hear the gospel and we're a Christian, it should be pleasant to us to hear it. When we hear the gospel, we receive it with joy. When we hear about the righteousness of Christ, we know we have no righteousness that can save us. We desperately need the righteousness of Christ. When we hear about the light of Christ, we see our sin exposed and we run to Jesus to forgive us, not run away from Jesus, because we need him as our Savior every day. We receive it with joy. We receive the grace of Jesus with so much joy because we need his grace right now, every day. As a Christian, the gospel is not a one-time thing when you got saved. The gospel is what you live in every day. As a Christian, you have to become a little preacher. And you have to preach the gospel to yourself every day. You have to remind yourself of the forgiveness of Christ for your sin every day. You have to remind yourself of the grace of Jesus every day. You have to remind yourself that you are not condemned for your sin every day. You have to remind yourself that you are an adopted child of God every day. You have to remind yourself that one day you will be in heaven with Jesus, glorified in perfection, perfectly made like him, one day without an ounce of sin. You have to remind yourself every day. You have to preach the gospel to yourself. And when we hear the gospel as Christians, it should give us so much life. So let me ask you, students, how do you respond when you hear the gospel? When you hear things about the forgiveness of Christ, the grace of Jesus, the love of God for you, to send Jesus to die for you and save you, what does that do to you? Think. Wake up. What does that do to you? When you hear the gospel, because what your heart does when you hear the gospel tells a lot about the state of your heart. If you respond to the gospel and you're numb, you're bored, lifeless, or you grow harder into sin, that means we're going from death to death. But if you hear the gospel and you rejoice, you need it, you want it, you're excited about it, you need Christ, you need his forgiveness, you need his help, you need his grace because you're a sinner in need of grace right now, that is a good sign. That's life to life. That's a sign of a heart that knows, loves, and follows Jesus. What does your heart do when you hear the gospel of Jesus Christ? Do you need to be saved? Because you're honest with yourself right now and you think, when I hear the gospel, I'm actually not responding like a Christian should respond. Am I really sure that I actually know Jesus? That I love Jesus? One day it will be too late. It will not matter that you went to church and called yourself a Christian. It will be too late. Do you love Jesus and want him? He has died for your sin. Do you love him? Do you, Christian, do you love Jesus? Do you love that you get grace every day? Do you love that you're a child of God? Do you love studying the Word of God to know Jesus more? It should give you so much life. And I know as Christians, we're not perfect. We don't do this thing perfectly. We have a lot of sleepiness about the Christian life. But we need to wake up. We need to be alive in Christ. We need to pursue him with every effort because the life of living for Jesus is the better life. Do you know Jesus? Do you need to repent and follow him? Last point. Just hang on with me to the end. Make Christ known and depend on grace. Make Christ known and depend on grace. Look at verse 16. Who is sufficient for these things? Paul gets to the end of this and he says, who can do this? Who can bear this weight? This weight of when I speak the gospel into a culture like the culture we've got, when I speak the gospel and I live the gospel out in this culture and it divides people, that's a heavy weight. That my life will actually split people perishing and being saved. That's a heavy weight. Who can bear that kind of weight? He's saying, who is able to do this? This message is not going to make us a ton of friends. It's not going to be the message that the world wants you to hear. It's not going to be the message that your friends are living for. But you're not the aroma of the world. You're the aroma of Christ. You're not the aroma of secular culture. You're the aroma of Christ. You're not the aroma of your family history. You're the aroma of Christ. Who is sufficient for this? We're not. We're not up to this task in our own strength. He says we're not peddlers of God's word. That means we don't water down God's word for our own gain. We don't soften the message of the gospel so that we can get a following. You got these Instagram, TikTok influencers who water down the message of the gospel so that they can get a following. They like messages that are life to life and life to life, not death to death and life to life. They just want a following. They want everybody to get on board, but not our message, because our message shows that there's people who don't know Jesus and there's people who are being saved by Jesus. And this is a weight that we can't do on our own. Because often we stumble, we struggle, our lives don't smell good for Christ, they smell bad. And that's not always a sign that you're not a Christian, that just means you're a struggling, stumbling follower of Jesus. You want to be passionate about Christ, you know you should be, but you're struggling to really look like Christ and care. And what we need is 2 Corinthians 12:9-10. 2 Corinthians 12:9-10 says, but Jesus said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. My grace is sufficient for you. So Paul says at the beginning of the book, who is sufficient for these things? And now he says, Jesus says to us, my grace is sufficient for you. It's enough. So when you feel like you can't do this, when you feel weak in the Christian life, you don't have the strength, hear Jesus say to you, my grace is enough for you. When you feel jacked up, your life's just jacked up, a mess. Anybody feel like that in here? You don't have to raise your hand. Anybody feel jacked up? Hear Jesus say to you, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in your weakness. Anybody feel like they're just struggling with the same sin? They're stuck in a cycle. My grace is sufficient for you. You feel confused? Hear Jesus say, my grace is sufficient for you. That's the greatest news in the world, isn't it? It doesn't matter how messed up we are. As believers, we run back to Jesus. We look to Jesus. Just keep looking to Jesus, Christians. Look to Jesus. Look to Jesus. His grace is sufficient for you. It is enough. And if you're in here and you've never received Jesus, look to Jesus, because his grace is sufficient to cover your sin. Look to Jesus and be saved. And then let's be the aroma of Christ. Looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. His grace is sufficient for us. Let's pray. Lord, I pray that we would be the aroma of Christ. God, I pray that we would wake up to the realities of sin, the realities of death to death and life to life, that people are going to hear this message and reject Christ or come to Christ. And I pray that in this room, Lord, that the people who are not following Jesus would wake up and they would see that your grace is enough. Your grace is sufficient to cover their sin. You will gladly receive them into your arms. God, for all the believers in the room, struggling, jacked up, confused, weak, may we just keep looking to Jesus and rest in his grace. God, we thank you that you never reject us when we come to you. You will lead us. You will guide us. We don't have to know every decision before it gets there. We just trust you. We want to make Christ known. We pick a door and we walk through it and we trust you. God, lead us. Lead these Christians into their schools tomorrow to be the aroma of Christ in every school in this city, Lord. Every school in this city, Lord, let us be the aroma of Christ to God among those who are perishing and among those who are being saved. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.